I wanted to talk a little bit about prayer, actually, about being able to pray. And this is very small. This is in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And I'll read this out for you. And this is, Paul starts out his letter this way, and he talks about how he would be praying for this church in Ephesus. And it's interesting because we don't, a lot of times when we read these letters, we don't think about this. This is also Paul expressing pastorally how he cares for the people there, and also reflecting a little bit on how he prays for the people there. And he starts off with, in this, and by verse 15, says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering in you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ." And see, at that point, remembering you in my prayers, he begins to lead into, this is some of the things that I pray for you about. This is some of the truth that I hope springs out in your life. And if you start understanding that, you start realizing, well, this is one of the ways that we can pray for one another. And we'll go on from 17. It says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." So the first thing is, he starts saying, look, one of the things I really desire is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, our great Father in heaven, who we are now in a close relationship with because of what Jesus has done, gives you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, there's two parts to this, right? The first one is wisdom. Wisdom is really important because wisdom helps us to know how to live here on earth. Right? Proverbs is full of this book of wisdom, but it gives us understanding how do we live in this society, in this world. But the second part, revelation in the knowledge of him. And for us as a society, one of the big things that we're really into is knowledge. We're kind of in this information age. Google is now the source that we go to for knowledge. But there's a little bit difference here. It's not just about knowledge, like saying, well, this is a Bible verse or this is the history of the text. It's actually saying revelation in the knowledge of him. The idea of revelation is the idea is, well, there is something deeper than just the knowledge that you receive in the head, but there is this knowledge that stirs the heart and the soul. Revelation is this idea of you having your eyes open to see something more, something deeper. It's like this eureka moment, like this aha. Revelation in the knowledge of him is saying there is something more about God that I have missed or have not known. And what we're praying for, and what Paul is praying for his people, his church, is that they continue to have these moments of revelation of God. Now, this is a big deal because us as Christians, we normally think, well, we became a believer, we know who Jesus is, and now we're just trying to faithfully live for him. But Paul here is saying, no, but you have to understand, actually, God is so great and so infinite that you cannot contain him by your little intellect. But as you continue to seek and know him, that revelation continues again, that there is more exciting things from God to know and understand. That's why he says, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." And he starts saying, look, one of the biggest revelations that we need to have, probably not just once, but almost daily, is this hope. This hope of why God has put you here on earth. And this hope of the knowledge that he has called you. See, when you understand that you have been called by God, this hope begins. This understanding that actually there is a greater purpose to my life here on earth. But the flip side is when troubles come and life seems so hard and so difficult and you can't overcome it, there's this hope that says, this is not the end of my life. What happens here on earth is just small compared to eternity with God. You begin to understand, wow, this hope of Jesus means I can live fully out this life here on earth for him without fear of risk or fear of failure, but to joyfully pursue him in all things because my hope is in him. Verse 18 again, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might?" It's really remarkable, right? This idea of actually this immeasurable greatness of his power according to the working of his great might. Do you understand, actually, the immeasurable power of God for your life according to what God is doing. You have to begin to understand this idea, this changes the way we pray. Because sometimes when we pray so timidly, so fearfully. Yes, out of respect for God, but when I say fearfully, I mean it's more like, well, God, I don't know what you want. I don't know if this is right. I'm just going to. And I realize one of the reasons we do that is because we're Chinese, or at least for some of us. And out of Chinese, there is this great humility and there is respect for elders. But in doing so, we're afraid to communicate or voice out the immeasurable power of God for the things that he desires. In that timidity, we're afraid to actually declare the promises that he has for us. Instead, we are so held back by our hot heinous or, our over-politeness that we are scared to declare actually what God is doing. It changes the way we pray because when we start saying, God, actually, I know that you love my coworker and I know that you desire for him to know who you are. So God, burst through in his life that they can know who you are. God, I know that you love my parents and I know your great desire is for them to know you. So God, I cry out to you, break forth into their life. As opposed to the prayer that we normally have, which is, God, if you want to, it's up to you. If you could, because, God, you're so powerful, if you want to. Right. It's cool. There's this, and it's true. God understands what you're saying. It's not about being how loud you are, or how brash you are, but we're talking about faith. And we're talking about courage. And we're talking about boldness. And what Paul is saying is that we are citizens of heaven, anointed with the immeasurable power of God to proclaim the things which are according to God's purpose. So the question then is, okay, well, as long as we know what God wants to do, we can pray boldly in that. And so we begin to say, God, teach us and show us what is the things that are right and true that you desire and proclaim those things. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And that comes back to this idea of there's this hope, this eternal hope that actually Jesus Christ is from the beginning and the end. That he is eternal, that actually evil and death are completely conquered, completely vanquished. You have to understand this is not just about somehow being good or being right or being moral, because we understand that no matter how good or right or pure that you are, that is not going to be enough to save this world from evil itself. No matter how many laws you put into place, no matter how many rules you put, it doesn't change someone's heart. And so when Jesus breaks through here, he says, I have broken those rules and those laws, and in my power, live. When we die to this earth, when we die to this time here, we say, actually, God, now my life is in you. Let me live and walk in this light, in this immeasurable power. And it's great because we start understanding this immeasurable power is also this idea of immeasurable power to combat sin and darkness in our own lives. This immeasurable power that gives us the strength to walk in holiness and this eagerness to do that, this desire and say, God, I have been fighting this for so long and yet I struggle. And yet we persevere because God's power is immeasurable. In verse 22, it ends, it says, he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this cements our identity as believers. We are part of his church. We are part of his body. And Christ is our head. See, I want to say this is actually how we pray for one another. If you have faith, you share that faith with each other. I'm not talking about faith of the gospel, but I mean like, when you're down and you feel like you can't see the end of the tunnel, and you feel a bit hopeless and dim and dark. And no matter what someone tries to say to you, you feel like, what's the point? What's the point, Bert? And you say, well, you got to pray. You got to pray and ask God. And the person, you know how they pray like this. God, just what's the point? Amen. But for those of you who have faith and understand that actually our God is our God of hope, when you come alongside them, you pray the prayer that they cannot pray for themselves. It's what Paul is doing here. He is praying this faith that maybe this church doesn't have, that they're undergoing their own trials. But he comes and says, you know what? God has this immeasurable hope and this power. And I know that he will restore. It's for us to gather as believers and say, God, we will pray in faith for those who are sick, who are hurting, who are weary. And when they have no strength, then we will pray all the more because we have that faith. That's the hope that we need, right? You know, when we're beat down and worn, we need someone else who has that strength to pray for us. The faith that God can do more in someone's life, more than they can see themselves. One of the things I see most common is someone who has been out of a job. When you're out of a job for a month, it's actually, yeah, this is okay. It's no problem. When you're out of a job for two months, you start to get a little bit worried. When you're out of work for 6 months, you start to get a little bit depressed. When you're out of job for a year, you start thinking there's so much stuff wrong with yourself. What's going on? And after that, you start just saying there's no point. I don't know what's going to happen. And this is where the strength of brothers and sisters around them can come along and say, you know what? God, I will pray and I will join my brothers and sisters to pray for someone when they have no strength to pray on their own. That is the strength of community. And that's the power of declaring God's work in someone's life, even when they are struggling. The faith that God's immeasurable power is at work. It's the idea that if your heart is enlightened, in other words, if your heart has had the revelation of what God is and who he is and the power that he has to work, then we pray and share out that joy and that hope and love. That is our opportunity. That's our blessing. That's what it means for us to pray for one another. It's great because actually there are times when I will meet someone and when they pray, it's like they're alive and they're talking to God. And when I sit next to them sometimes, when I'm feeling weary and dry and I hear them pray, I actually start crying because I feel so sad that my relationship isn't like that. And at the other time, I feel hopeful because I realize, wow, there is real faith there. And I can see in those times that God is beginning to restore and renew and remind me, actually, Bert, and that is my calling for all of us, to be at that point, to be able to pray and fight this battle when others are too weak to do that. You begin to understand that actually we are this church of followers of Christ who are full of hope. Hope that God is and doing, can do more in one another's lives. And the idea is that we are not just praying for those in here, but we begin to pray powerfully and vibrantly for those around us. Because we know that actually that God has spoke his light into this darkness. And on a land of deep darkness, the light has shone. Shall we pray? And then we're going to come to a time of communion and then have some more worship. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you are filling this congregation with the hope of the knowledge of you. The hope of this revelation that actually, Jesus, you are a conqueror. You are risen again. And that the way to the Father is now clear, and that we are surrounded by the arms of our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, stir in our hearts this passion, this desire to be praying for those who are weary or tired, Father God. To those who are, you can see that they're beset by sin and they can't break free from that, that their eyes are darkened and clouded by this. God, we gather together and we declare now that you are Savior. That you open the eyes of those who are blind, that you set free those who are in this cloud, in this mist of darkness, that you breathe this life into their hearts again, that we hunger for this redemption that begins here on earth and comes to completion with you in heaven. God, for all of us who call you as Lord, we know that we are part of your body. We are in your arms. And even more so, we are your arms of love. So with you as our head, lead us and guide us. Unite our hearts with your spirit, connecting us to your Father. that together we are your living and active body. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray.